Paryatad arka eva trilokim. Paryatad arka eva trilokim. Antas charo vayur ivatma sakshi. Paravare brahmani dharmato vratayah. Natasya me nyunamalam vichakshva.
Natasya me nyunamalam vichakshva.
Tvam paryatan arka iva triloki.
Tvam paryatan arka iva triloki.
Antascharo vayurivatma sakshi.
Antascharo vayurivatma sakshi.
Paravare brahmani dharmato vratai.
Paravare brahmani dharmato vratai.
Snatasya me nyunamalam vichakshva.
Snatasya me nyunamalam vichakshva.
Tvam. Your goodness.
Your goodness.
Paryatag.
Traveling.
Arkaha, the sun,
Eva,
like Triloki, the three worlds, Antakshara,
can penetrate into everyone's heart.
Vayu Eva, as good as the all pervading air. Atma.
Atma.
Self-realized.
Sakshi.
Witness.
Witness.
Paravare.
Paravare.
In the matter of cause and effect.
In the matter of cause and effect.
Brahmani.
Brahmani.
In the absolute.
In the absolute.
Dharmataha.
Dharmataha.
Under disciplinary regulations. Vratayi. In vow. Snatasya. Having been absorbed in. May. Bind. Nyunam.
Deficiency.
Alab. Clearly,
Vichakshva,
search out.
Search out.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Like the sun, your goodness can travel everywhere in the three worlds. And like the air, you can penetrate the internal region of everyone. As such, you are as good as the all-pervading super soul. Please therefore find out the deficiency in me. Despite my being absorbed in transcendence under disciplinary regulations and vows. Purport. Transcendental realization. Pious activities. Worshipping the deities. Charity, mercifulness, non-violence, and studying the scriptures under strict disciplinary regulations are always helpful. Vyasadeva is asking his guru, Narad, please identify what I have failed to do. Please diagnose exactly my problem. And he's assuring Narad that Narad is quite competent to do this. We should glorify the Guru. But the best glorification is to glorify him according to his actual personal qualities. If we just flatter the Guru and say things that aren't even true, you know, say you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you've created all the universes, this is not true. It's not appropriate glorification of one's Guru. But here, just like we played a Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya. You have delivered, especially the Western world, from impersonalism and voidism. This is appropriate. Prabhupada has delivered the whole world. And he's gone out of India and spread it all over the world. So this is his appropriate glorification. Similarly, Narada is being appropriately glorified here according to his actual qualities. Narada is able to travel all over the universe. Not everyone can do that. Hardly anyone can do that. The Gandharvas have wings, they can fly. The Siddhas can fly without wings. Narada is technically a Gandharva, but he has powers much beyond the ordinary Gandharvas. Gandharvas normally inhabit the Bhuvarloka region, middle sky. They don't have access to the whole universe, especially the highest regions. They're only semi-demigods. But Narada is not an ordinary Gandharva. He's Devarishi, great sage among all the demigods. And he has special empowerment to travel all over every corner of the universe, whenever he wants. He can be anywhere, practically immediately. And he can even travel to the spiritual world. He's free to do that. So that's the first glorification. Tvam Paryatan Arka Iva Trilokim. You can go all over the three worlds, just as the mighty Surya, sun planet, is covering with its rays of light the entire universe. And its orbit is going all around. So, just like that, the three worlds are covered by the path of the sun. Similarly, your path covers every corner of the universe. There's nowhere that you have not been, O Narada, and you cannot go to at any time. And not only the external regions, but you also can enter the hearts. Not literally like the Supersoul. This is metaphorical. Antas charo vayurivatma sakshi. You are traveling within the bodies of the living entities, like the wind. The wind is external, the wind is internal. There's the air outside, and there is air inside our bodies. All mobility, all motion, breathing and digestion, all these active functions are promoted, controlled by the element Vayu. Without that wind in the body, prana, there's no life. So like the prana, the vital air inside every living body, you are within everyone. Atmasakshi, you can witness the secrets of the self, of the soul. Not only everybody is his own witness. Everyone knows himself. But a great soul like Narada can see within the hearts of anybody, because he has special transcendental insight to do that. So, you can see what is Narada, my dear Gurudev, you can see what is going on all over the universe. You've been everywhere and seen it yourself. And you can see within my heart and diagnose what is the matter with me. You're perfectly competent to do this. We should trust the Guru, our Guru, that he can take care of us. Yasmin vigyate sarvam vigyatam bhavati. If you know the Supreme, you know everything. But that is not to be taken too literally. Only the Supreme himself knows everything. But one who is a devotee, surrendered devotee of the Supreme, and has his loving relationship with him and knows him in that way, the Supreme will reveal to him whatever that devotee needs to know. Not that the devotee has in his head all the information about everything in the universe. A jiva, finite living entity, can never have that infinite knowledge that God has. Vedanta Sutra says, Vyapara Varjam. Loka Vyapara Varjam? That liberated soul gains many of the powers of God by virtue of becoming liberated. He regains his true Satchit Ananda identity. Pure consciousness, eternal existence, full of bliss. But you cannot be the creator of the worlds the way God is. Neither can you know everything the way God does. This is one minor distinction in philosophy between our Gaudiya Sampradaya and the Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradaya. They think, they propose, that when you are liberated, you know everything. We deny that. You cannot know everything the way God does. But God will tell his pure devotee whatever the devotee needs to know. In that way, the devotee knows everything. Because he has access. Just like we have access to internet, we can look up so much information. Like that, a pure devotee has access to the supreme internet and can get whatever information he needs from Krishna directly. He doesn't have to cram his head with it all. He just is informed by Krishna whatever he needs to know. And therefore, a pure devotee, Vaishnava, is competent to serve his spiritual master and to know the inner heart of his disciples by the power that Krishna gives him. When the guru gives the disciple any service, authorized service for Krishna, the power, the capability to execute the service is always there in the order. Bonafide guru will not give a demand, an order of his disciple that's impossible to carry out. The power to do it is in the command. Similarly, if you're ordered to become guru, then you will be empowered to know your disciples and guide them properly. It's another service. Just like go clean the temple room. In that order is the capacity to do it right. If you're sincere, if you're not very surrendered, if you're not thinking carefully about doing nice service for Krishna, you'll find, even though you're a very competent person in the material world, you can't even use a broom properly for Krishna's service. You can't do anything properly. You cannot use your material motivations to serve Krishna. They aren't there. You're not being paid. There's no sense gratification given to you in exchange for your work. It's just volunteer service. And so a materialist cannot be properly motivated and cannot have the proper intelligence how to do anything for Krishna. He can't even sweep the floor properly, even though he may be a very competent man materially. He can't do anything for Krishna right, unless he develops devotional consciousness. And Krishna enters his heart and gives him inspiration how to understand things properly on the spiritual level. You may have all material intelligence, but you're spiritually an idiot until Krishna gives you that divine knowledge. Dinyogyan ride prakashito. The spiritual master, as the agent of Krishna, gives you that divine knowledge. Just like you go to the shop and they activate the SIM card in your phone. Like that, the guru activates the transcendental knowledge in the heart. When he gives initiation, when he gives instruction. In that instruction is the power to understand. Especially when you give it an order to do something for Krishna. One thing to sit around and talk philosophy. We do that, but we don't do that all day, just sit around and talk philosophy. We have work to do for Krishna. And it's really the service, the active service, that actually stimulates the intelligence. You can study Srimad Bhagavatam, sit in the corner and read the book for 6 hours every day. But if you want to realize in a deep way the message of the Bhagavatam, you should share that knowledge with others. And you should put it into action. You should do some service for Krishna. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya doesn't just mean stick your nose in the book. It means serve the devotees also. That's Bhagavat Seva. The book and the devotees, both are Bhagavat. So by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya in both ways, then we get firm devotion and clear understanding.
So,
here Narada is being assured by his disciple, I'm confident that you can tell me what's wrong. Right. If you don't mind, I'll read the next verse too. Verse 8. Shri Narada Uvacha Bhavata Nudita Prayam Yasho Bhagavato Balam Yenaiva Sauna Tushieta Manyeta Darshanam Tilam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Purport. The internal relation of an individual soul with the Supreme Soul, Personality of Godhead, is constitutionally one of being the eternal servitor of the eternal Master. The Lord has expanded Himself as living beings in order to accept loving service from them. And this alone can satisfy both the Lord and the living beings. Such a scholar as Vyasadeva has completed many expansions of the Vedic literatures, ending with the Vedanta philosophy. But none of them have been written directly glorifying the personality of Godhead. Dry philosophical speculations, even on the transcendental subject of the Absolute, have very little attraction without directly dealing with the glorification of the Lord. The personality of Godhead is the last word in transcendental realization. The Absolute, realized as impersonal Brahman, or localized Supersoul, Paramatma, is less productive of transcendental bliss than the supreme personal realization of His glories. The compiler of the Vedanta Darshan is Vyasadeva himself. Yet he is troubled, although he is the author. So what sort of transcendental bliss can be derived by the readers and listeners of Vedanta, which is not explained directly by Vyasadeva, the author? Herein arises the necessity of explaining Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam by the self-same author. Narada is now directly replying without any hesitation, any big introduction, getting right to the point. You failed to adequately emphasize the glories of the personality of Godhead. You've presented the Supreme as impersonal or in a generic form. Not in the Upanishads, there's not so much clear distinction all the time between the Supreme Soul and the finite soul. Very often talk is just about Atma, not distinguishing the two kinds of Atmas. Not always, but often in the Upanishads. And in the Vedic Samhitas, the discussion seems to be mostly, or the presentation seems to be mostly of Vedic rituals, glorifying, worshipping various demigods, in the performance of rituals for getting material benefits. Karmakanda, Gyanakanda. This Bhakti Kanda has not been properly represented by Vyasadeva. He has not presented the pure science of devotional service. That is what he's failed to do, very simply. So the answer is given immediately and directly. Actually, Vyasadeva said that himself before Narada appeared, back in the previous chapter, almost the same exact words. But he was lamenting. He said to himself, kim va bhagavata dharma na prayena nirupita priyat paramahansana ta eva hyachyuta priyaha. This may be, I'm feeling incomplete, maybe because I did not specifically point out the devotional service of the Lord, which is dear both to perfect beings and to the infallible Lord. Vyasadeva already had this idea in his own words. But now Narada, his guru, is confirming it. I mean, the disciple may guess right, and the guru may confirm what the disciple has in mind. That's fine. The guru doesn't have to always contradict the disciple. Now, the guru's not there only to tell you you're wrong all the time. Sometimes you're right. So Vyasadeva had it right. He had the right idea, what he missed to do. But now the guru is saying, okay, don't just sit there and lament about it. Do something. So sit and meditate on the Supreme Lord and write the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you'll have nothing to lament about anymore. Okay, you identified the problem. Well, let's enact the solution. Vyasadeva is already qualified as the author of the Vedanta philosophy. He is the professor, the establisher of that school of philosophy. Although all the philosophical schools are eternal, but in each Dwarpa Yuga, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, Vyasadeva and other sages appear and re-establish these ancient philosophies. So for our Kali Yuga, Vyas is the authority on Vedanta. He wrote the book that we have, Bhadarayana's Vedanta Sutra. That is the last word in spiritual philosophy. Although only very advanced thinkers can understand it. Although in the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they sometimes make a big thing of studying and arguing Vedanta. Only a few people can understand the argument. For the rest of the devotees, it's not of much interest and is over their heads. The actual study of, especially the arguing back and forth on fine points and writing commentaries on commentaries on commentaries and rebuttals on argument back and forth, debates back and with other schools over minor points of philosophy, it's really too much for most people. There's not that much of an audience for the Vedanta. Go down the street, ask the pundits there in the Madhva Sampradaya, how many people actually study this, all this Vedanta philosophy? Small handful of people have the capacity to study it. But to speak of write original books, very few people. The mass of the devotees don't have access directly to the Vedanta. So it should be explained. That's the purpose of the Bhagavatam. It is the natural commentary on the Vedanta philosophy. Among other things, it's that. Bhashyoyam Brahma Sutrana. This Bhagavatam is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifies it's Akritrama Bhashya, the natural commentary. Why? Because it's written by the same author. Who's a competent person to explain what he's written? Is it the same person? Someone else may not understand it properly. But the original author is the best man to explain his own book. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya was not too much interested in having his disciples write commentaries and sub-commentaries and sub-sub-commentaries on Vedanta Sutra. He said, we already have the Bhagavatam. This is the natural commentary by the author himself. We don't require it. And so even though, if you want to establish a school of Vaishnava philosophy, you're expected to come up with your own Vedanta commentary. That establishes your sampradaya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not commission such a commentary. He said, we have the Bhagavatam, that is our commentary. Prabhupada, in discussing this in one lecture, he gave an example of an author, I don't remember the name of the author, in the 19th century. He wrote a book called Shah Jahan is the name of the book. I don't know the name of the author. In Hindi, I think. And one of his intelligent friends said, I read your book. Why did you call it Shah Jahan? Because most of it is about Aurangzeb, his son. Shah Jahan is the grandson of Akbar. And the great-grandson is the notorious Aurangzeb, who demolished many Vaishnav temples. And the author said, look, it's my book. I know what the book is about. And therefore I called it Shah Jahan. Because as far as I'm concerned, the central theme of the whole book is the image of King Shah Jahan sitting in the Agra prison, Agra fort, his prison cell, and looking wistfully over the Jamuna River at the Taj Mahal, the tomb of his wife. Yeah. Having been locked in that prison by his son Aurangzeb. So the real hero of the book is Shah Jahan. Therefore, I call the book Shah Jahan. I know the book better than anybody else. And that, he told that story to make the point. Vyasadeva is the author of Vedanta. He knows best how to explain it. And he did it in the Bhagavatam. Later, much later, at the end of the 17th century, or beginning of the 18th century, A.D., there was trouble in Jaipur. Our old friend Aurangzeb, in 1699, sent his soldiers to attack Vrindavan. And they did trouble. They tore down temples. And they may have done violence to the devotees. In anticipation of the soldiers coming, many of the temples sent their deities away to Rajasthan. Some of those deities are still there, in Jaipur, in Karoli, a few other places. Govinda deity is still there in Jaipur. Madan Mohan, original deity, is still there in Karoli Gram. So in Jaipur, the king, I think it was Man Singh, was the establisher of a new city, Jaipur. Before that, his dynasty had their capital in the fort of Amber, up in the hills. But Jai Singh established a new city in the valley, and he called it after himself, Jaipur. And he wanted to build a great temple for Govindaji there, and it's still there, next to the city palace, the temple of Govindaji. So I don't know, this may have happened before the temple was built. In fact, we think that it happened in Galta, and the deity was there, up in the hills, outside the city, some 10, 15 kilometers, in Galta. The deity was sitting there, in a temporary place. And there are other Vaishnavs there, beside the Gaudiyas who came to accompany Govindadev. And these other Ramadandis, who claim to be connected to Sri Sampradaya, but actually they're very much influenced by Mayavad philosophy, most of them. But they claim to be authorized Vaishnav Sampradaya. And they were giving us trouble, the Gaudiyas, saying that we're not authorized. And we have no right to participate in the deity worship. There, I guess in Galta, where Govindaji was being worshipped, devotees from different sampradayas would be there. And they would distribute prasadam every day to the devotees. In the temple, the devotees would get in lines according to their sampradayas. But the Ramadandi said, you Gaudiyas, you have to go in back of the Madhva line. You don't have your own sampradaya. And you claim connection with Madhva Sampradaya, so you go stand in the back of their line. And then they wanted to even do worse. They wanted to move the deity of Srimati Radharani to the other side of Krishna, to put her on the Lakshmi side. Because they didn't recognize, as we do, that Srimati Radharani should be on the right side of Krishna. They want Lakshmi is always on the left, is that right?
Yes.
So they actually forced the king to move the Radharani deity to the other side of Krishna. And then they wanted to forbid the Gaudiya Vaishnavas from participating in the worship at all. So the devotees sent a party to Vrindavan to ask for help, protection from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was the head of the community at that time, toward the end of the 17th century AD. He said, I'm very old. I can't come all the way to Jaipur now. 240 kilometers from Vrindavan. I'm too old to travel. I'll send my young disciples. This is Baladev Vidyabhushan, very expert a debater and philosopher. And Krishna Dev Sarvabhauma, his friend. I'll send the two of them. And they can debate in front of the king these Ramadanis and anyone else who wants to criticize us. And they'll defend our position. So Baladev and his friend went. And they were ready to debate, but the Ramanadi said, okay, you want to enter into debate? Where's your Vedanta Sutra commentary? How can you enter a debate? You don't have Tika. You don't have Bhashya. So Baladev first proposed that we are connected with Madhva Sampradaya. I will argue our points from Madhvacharya's Brahma Sutra Bhashya. But that didn't satisfy the other side. Where's your commentary? You claim to be a separate Sampradaya. So where's your commentary? So Baladev said, I'll go get it. Give me a few days. I'll bring it. And he went in front of Govindaji and prayed. Govindaji assured him, don't worry, I'll dictate it to you. You just write it down. So in 18 days, Sri Govindaji dictated the Govinda Bhashya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want a commentary on Vedanta in our Sampradaya. But actually, he arranged through Baladev Vidyabhushan that later on such a commentary was written when there was actually a need for it. When there's a need to defend the Siddhanta against attacks, then we get philosophical. Then we write and talk about Vedanta Sutra. When we have opponents who are arguing Vedanta Sutra, then we can fight fire with fire. And so Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote most expert commentary on Vedanta. And that way defended our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, defended the tradition of Vyasadeva. Empowered, because he was a totally faithful devotee. Not because he was a big pundit. So many big pundits are there, and they can write so many books that it doesn't change anything. But when a devotee defends the Sampradaya, the Siddhanta, Krishna gives him special intelligence. Beyond ordinary scholarly intelligence. We don't need to go to Benares to study Vedanta. Although, Lord Nityananda sent Jiva Goswami to Benares to study Vedanta. If Lord Nityananda orders you, okay. But whimsically, we do not need to do that. We don't need university education. Or to study with the Mayavadis. We don't need that. Krishna will give us the intelligence to do everything and know everything that needs to be known. Yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. If you know Krishna, then Krishna will tell you everything you need to know. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
You said all devotees don't have access to Vedanta Sutra, and there are only a few who are blessed with the intelligence to study them.
Yes.
So does that have any bearing upon the constitutional position of the devotee, or should it have to happen to pass that in some stage of his advancement of devotional service, he has to come to the point of understanding Vedanta Sutra?
We have to understand the essence of Vedanta. We are bhakti Vedantas. So by studying the Bhagavatam, we learn the real message of the Vedanta, even if we never read the sutras. Did Prabhupada study Vedanta Sutra? I don't know. No, maybe not. He had an intention to write commentary on Vedanta. He wrote one page. And then he decided to do Chaitanya Charitamrita instead. You see, on the first manuscript page of Chaitanya Charitamrita, on the back of the page is the beginning of commentary of Vedanta Sutra. But he stopped after one page. Prabhupada wasn't a serious student of Vedanta. Maybe he read it sometime. But he was Bhaktivedanta. He had realized and he knew the essence of Vedanta as not different from devotional service to Krishna. So we should become Bhaktivedantis. We don't have to study the sutras. We don't have to. It won't make you a much better devotee. And you may waste a lot of time that can be spent for something more practical. I'm not saying nobody should do it. but it has limited application in practical preaching to the people who are actually living in the world today. Look at the other sampradayas. There's so much in Nivedanta, but what are they accomplishing with it? Who's listening to them? Who can understand what they're saying even? When they lecture to the public, they don't go into all these complications. They can't even use it for general preaching. So what use can we make of it? How many people are going to understand it? A few hundred? We can't spend all our energy just preaching to a small handful of people who are probably too proud of their knowledge to change anyway. We can, somebody can do it. It should be done. But it's a very specialized thing and it has limited application for us. Maybe in the future, when Krishna, when ISKCON becomes, respected and it has established itself, and its educational institutions are well developed, then we can have a whole department of Vedanta study. But for now, it's not first priority. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out that other sampradayas, they practice what you can call vicharatmaka bhakti, that they're interested in philosophical discussion on bhakti. But our version is rasatmaka bhakti. We're more interested in cultivating rasa than in cultivating philosophical debates. Of course, for those who don't have attraction to rasa, then it's something to do, to talk philosophy. But we go beyond philosophy when we actually get attracted to Krishna and his pastimes and the transcendental rasa to be enjoyed in them. The real focus of our sampradaya is rasa, not just philosophy. Okay? Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
You were mentioning that when the spiritual master gives an instruction, that comes the empowerment to do that.
Yes.
Sometimes it may happen that the disciple may feel that I'm not qualified for that or I'm not fit for that.
Yes.
Is it that?
So what,
the lack of faith?
Yes, it's weak faith. It's weak faith. When Prabhupada ordered the BBT disciples to finish the unedited 17 volumes of Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita that they were behind on, he said, I'll give you 2 months. They thought it would take 2 years. And the BBT managers told Prabhupada, impossible, we can't do it. And Prabhupada's answer was, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Because he's giving the order, he's giving the power in the order, and it was done. It was done in 2 months. So it's weak faith to doubt that you can do what the guru is asking you to do. He's empowering you to do it by asking you. Okay, so we stop. Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.